huh? Wow. Well, my name's Ray. I'm from Lake Havasin City, for some. That's why I used to go there, to sin. That's where, coming from Southern California, I learned to fly just so I could get there faster to sin more. And the Lord rescued me and has me now where I don't have to go anywhere out of town to witness to half-naked pagans, because there's plenty right there in Havasu that need Jesus. And there's also plenty of great people there, and I love it there, but it's really a joy to be with you here this morning. What a privilege and an honor. And it's just great to know Lance and Lori for a lot of years, but we've just had a growing closer relationship, and they're just a blessing and an inspiration and so much wisdom and just so much love of Jesus that they exude. And so he's like a mentor to me, and I enjoy learning about ministry and loving people and the Lord Jesus from him. And though he is older than me, I just thought it was important that you know that. Because you're looking at me and you might think, really? Well, I didn't get the surfer boy DNA, the just perpetual young look. I had a lot of rough miles before I came to know Jesus. And so I did want you to know I am legit, though, as a Calvary Chapel pastor. And to prove it, yesterday I bought this shirt. It's not only Hawaiian, but it has a surfer on it, so I could fit here. And we looked at the label and found out that it says cook on it. And so I thought that was really neat. And it was $20 at Costco, so that's exactly where we got it. You know, in Psalms, it tells us, in Psalm 78:22, and then verse 32 and 33, it said, because they believe not. If I can get it up there. Well, I could have guessed this would happen when they gave me technology into my hands. Press enter, or I bet I can blank the whole, there we go. And now will it go this way? I press this. Okay, now we're on board. Okay, we're at the first sign. Because they believed not in God and trusted not in his salvation, it says in Psalm 78:22, for they sinned still and believed not for his wondrous works. Therefore, their days did he consume in vanity and their years in trouble. The Bible warns us about, I see it here, but it's not showing up on the screen. I don't know what I might need to press different. Anybody? Somebody? Anybody? So is it a press? Okay. So, and it says in Hebrews 3:19 this, so they could not enter in because of unbelief. And so the message title is The Grief of Unbelief. It's from John 12:37 through 50. It's a sad thing not to believe when something is true. And so that's what I wanted to speak with you about this morning. And it's a privilege just to talk about Jesus and to be here. And thank you for having me once again. And if we look at John 12:37 through 50, why don't you just follow along with me? And it says in John 12:37, but although he had done so many signs before them, they did not believe in him. that the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spoke, Lord, who has believed our report, and to whom the arm of the Lord has been revealed. Therefore, they could not believe, because Isaiah said again, he has blinded their eyes, and he has hardened their heart, lest they should see with their eyes, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that he should heal them. These things Isaiah said when he saw his glory, and he spoke of him. Nevertheless, even among rulers, many believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Then Jesus cried out, he who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And he who sees me sees him who sent me. I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. And if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word which I have spoken will judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that this command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak. Now, before we go any farther, would you just bow your hearts with me? Lord, that this word of yours would penetrate our hearts, that we would grow closer to you by this time together. Lord, would you encourage those who need encouragement? Would the cross be lifted up in this, where you would draw all of us to yourself closer? But also, Lord, I pray if there's any that haven't surrendered their life to you, and haven't turned, repented, and believe in you, Lord, that you would just have your way with that yielded heart. And Lord, would you just want seeds scattered? Would they fall on good soil? We just put this at your feet this morning. Thank you for more breath and more time to get to know you while we're here. And I ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. So, some people say they believe in God, and yet it's a mental concession that really just is not a heartfelt confession. Belief. It's a funny thing when we use that word, because it's used in different ways, and we have a culture and a vernacular sometimes that speaks about belief, but it really doesn't mean much, I don't think, as far as how it equates to actions. In James 2:19, it says, you believe that there is one God, you do well, even the demons believe and tremble. Right? There's those that say they believe, but they don't believe in the biblical sense of clinging to, adhering to, putting all their eggs in that basket of hope and faith in Jesus Christ, kind of like what we just sang, right? When we talk about in Christ alone, our hope is found. So some of you are like me, old enough, got some miles on you. And it was 5 years old when I remember a song shortly thereafter that I would hear. And it said that I thought love was only true in fairy tales. Maybe for someone else, but not for me. Love was out to get me. That's the way it seemed. Disappointment, though, haunted all my dreams. Then I saw her face. Now I'm a believer. Not a trace of doubt in my mind. Though Mickey Dolenz from the Monkees sang that song, what happened with him is, well, he went through a lot of gals, because it said that he would never leave her. So how much of a believer about never leaving her was he? He said, I couldn't leave her if I tried. Well, in 1975, I'm getting a little older, and there's another song, I Believe in Miracles. Since you came along, I don't know how much Hot Chocolate, that was the band's one-hit wonder, really believed in that. Then 1981, I'm a little older, and some of you too, and the song's been quite popular, but it's Don't Stop Believing by Journey. And we're to hold on to that feeling. And then it says streetlights people. What is a streetlight people? I have no idea. But don't stop believing. But believing in what? Because, and if it's just a feeling, my feelings vacillate. My feelings fluctuate. My feelings change. My feelings are fickle. How about yours sometimes? Depending on the weather, my feelings can change. And then by 1995, there's a guy, and I'm saved at this point. Praise the Lord. I got saved in 1990, but I remember hearing it, and it was a guy named R. Kelly, and he said, "I believe I can fly." And I thought, no, you don't, because you don't jump off of buildings. You believe in gravity and pain and consequences. You don't really believe you can fly. And I understand he was stretching it some for the song's point. And I know it also in the last decades, people have been told you should believe in yourself. I know what I believe about myself. I'm part of the fallen human race. And there is one rescuer that can save us, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, some people believe this, and some people don't. Some people never will, right? They never will come to faith. It's sad, but there are those who will live an eternity apart from Jesus Christ. Now, when you look at believe in the scripture and you see it 8 times in just these verses I read, it's throughout scripture to believe. It says back in 2 Chronicles 20:20 to believe in the Lord your God and you shall be established. Believe his prophets and you shall prosper. Well, all those prophets from Abel to Zechariah told of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. In Mark 1:5, there is the gospel bursting forth in the New Testament. And it says, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. And then Jesus says 9 chapters later, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. It says in the end of Mark's gospel that he who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. And then verse 17 of chapter 16 of Mark, and these signs will follow those who believe. The emphasis there is believing in Mark 16. The evidence of a belief is that we follow in some obedience, and then it's a natural progression where we see that command to be baptized, that people get baptized, just like they did a few days ago here with you guys, right? There was baptism on the Wednesday night. All designed by the Lord, the signs and everything else that Jesus did, the fact that he divided history is so that we might believe. It says in John 2:11, when he changed the water into wine at the Cana of Galilee, it was the beginning of signs, and he manifested his glory, and right then his disciples believed in him. Do we have any saved people here today? I figured there was quite a bit. That's who comes, especially you first service people. You sometimes are more saved than the second people, second service people. I know that because you get up early, fired up for the Lord. I rise up early in the morning. But as a saved person, I can remember the Lord saving me, rescuing me. And then I thought, well, now everybody I know can get saved because they'll see that I got saved, and Jesus saves from the guttermost to the uttermost, and if he'll save me, they'll get saved. And we saw some wonderful things. It was May of 89 that Lisa got saved, my bride, and then in June, I got saved the following year, 1990, and then by August, my parents are getting baptized with me because they knew me well, and they said, wow, if that kid can get saved, I guess God will save anybody. And so as a grown adult, I was 28, and we all got baptized together and everything else, and I really had a fire, and I do but I wanted to see other people get saved, and I just couldn't quite get why some of them weren't giving their hearts to Jesus right away, because it became so true to me. And I was so convinced and so sure of who Jesus was now at this point, and I was like, well, why didn't they get saved? I didn't learn some of the stuff like in 2 Corinthians yet about the fact that their enemy had blinded them and that they so loved darkness rather than light, but I got sick of the darkness. I knew it didn't satisfy the discontentment, but I was blown away sometimes that somebody didn't get saved, and I was like, can you believe it? I just shared with them of the truth of who Jesus is, and man, it's so evident that he's coming back and everything else, and in today's age, sometimes I feel that way. I go, can't you see biblical prophecy just coming true all over the place? That we're living in a special age and time. I mean, look at the global economy, the one world government, the fact that what it says in Revelation about the witnesses and everything, the whole world's going to see them, that we have satellite and we have technology now, and man, the mark of the beast is with the economy and everything else. And people still don't believe sometimes, do they? See, God is far above us, yet he is for us. There is a God of majesty that has sent his son, divided history. And it says again, and truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in the book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing in him, you may have life in his name. This is what the Lord has done for humanity as he sent his son on the rescue mission for us, that we would look at all the signs and all the evidence. It's not an illiterate or illegitimate faith that we have. There is much evidence. He did these signs, and these signs are to lead us to that safe haven of home. You know the sign that says In-N-Out Burger? You see that arrow, that sign, those colors? And then the closer you get, the more there you are sure you are reaching your desired haven. You can smell the grilled onions. You know that you're getting close to those burgers that you may be seeking after. The more you follow the Lord, remember the signs that follow believers? The more we'll be sure of his the evidence of who he is, the longer we walk with him. It's a wondrous thing that when you get saved, you believe, and yet you can grow in that belief. They were troubled. After chapter 12, the whole 13 through 18, the upper room discourse is all like what he pours into his apostles. This is the last like public thing he's saying here. In John's chronological order of the gospel. And so he pours out this truth, and it's about calling people to believe. Remember, they were very brokenhearted that Jesus said to them that he's going to leave. But then he says, I'm going to pour out the Holy Spirit. He says, but don't let your heart be troubled. Because if you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it weren't so, I would tell you. But I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be also. And that's the promise we have, that where he is, we're going to be. It wouldn't be heaven without him, would it? We could have all the golden streets and all the pearly gates and everything else, but seeing Jesus. And I know sometimes people get off track. They believe, but they get off track in following. They become prodigals. They slip away. And I can tell you, if you're running from God, but you know better, but something else, the world has captured your heart a bit, that He knows how to deal with disobedience if you're his. And he will put you back on track. Maybe today is that day that you're not living the way that you know the Lord has called you to live. But you know he loves you. And it's time to get back on track by surrender today. And also, this is the message for so many of us, perhaps all of us, that we are to share with others. And I tell you, it helps your faith a lot to share your faith. We're not called just to receive and like bloat. We're called to be a river that flows, and we're supposed to share this truth. When Philip was there with the Ethiopian eunuch, he started to preach Jesus to him, even from the Old Testament, right? From Isaiah. And Philip said to him in Acts 8:37, if you believe with all your heart, speaking about getting baptized, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. This is part of the gospel that we have to share. And it's amazing that he allows us to be his ambassadors, isn't it? In Romans, it tells us, how shall they preach unless they are sent? It is beautiful. How beautiful are the feet, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But not everybody has obeyed the gospel. As Isaiah has said, Lord, who has believed our report. Now, this is the portion that we have here where it's spoken of, that's quoted from, about Isaiah. See, it's the same thing in John 38, who has believed our report, who has the arm of the Lord been revealed. Therefore, look at verse 39, they could not believe because Isaiah said again, he has blinded their hearts and he's hardened their hearts, lest they should see with their eyes, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn that I should heal them. Now, what isn't going on here is that the Lord has arbitrarily chosen those, and he has this vast selection from birth or predestination that can't believe in the Lord. Some people get tripped up by this section of scripture, and they go, well, look it. They're either going to believe or they're not going to believe. We really have no part to play in this. But look at what it says back in verse 37. What happens before they don't believe is the fact that they did not believe in him. They made a choice. You have a choice. God in his sovereignty, and I don't understand it, how to put it all in conjunction, how this God of majesty and sovereignty, though, allows man in his humanity to have a choice. He does everything. He draws us. He is reveals himself, and yet people can choose not to believe and to go that way off into eternity. I know this might be hard to believe. Old man feet, I mean, they look a lot better with some Amazon blue shoes. But if I took off these 13 and a half size feet and showed them to you with the, you know, the old guy toenails and everything, you would not think beautiful. But the Bible tells us, you know what, if I use these to go tell people about the wondrous, wonderful gospel that saves people, then, spiritually speaking, they're beautiful. You've been given feet. And even though I didn't walk for 9 months, I was given a scooter that I could get around on so we could share the gospel, the good news. What a privilege and an honor we have to be able to do that. And what do we believe, some of it? Well, I believe also what Isaiah said here in verse 41 when he, in that Christophany, saw the Lord in his glory. He who was saying previously in Isaiah 1 through 5, woe to you and woe to you and woe to you too, because he was living in the midst like it says in Colossians, of a wicked and perverse generation. But it says in Colossians 2, we're also supposed to shine as lights in the world in the midst of this. And he saw the Lord still moving and working in the midst of this. And as he saw the Lord, the pre-incarnate Lord, he spoke of him. And you know what? We can know and we can believe that I sure believe that what John saw, I'm going to see. I'm going to see to a greater degree. When we see him, it says we will be like him, for our body, which is now mortal, will take on immortality. We'll be able to see him as he is. The glimpse of heaven we had, the Jesus that we trust in and we follow and we listen to, that sent his Holy Spirit to guide us, this Jesus, we're going to see for eternity as believers, face to face. We now see dimly, but soon face to face. That stirring in the heart that happens by the Spirit when the choir is singing and the orchestra is playing and Mead is leading and all of that is happening, that is just a fraction of what is going to happen when we are before his throne and an innumerable company of angels, where every tribe and every tongue and every kindred and every nation is singing his praises and worshiping him forever. And we are at that place where there is no more fear, perversion, divorce, abuse, custody battles, orphanages, foster homes, NEA, ACLU, FBI, CPS, DUIs, chapter 7 or 11, where there's no more dentistry or surgery or pharmacies or hospitals or addictions or miscarriages or infertility or pornography or inflation or unemployment or rehab or bars or casinos or tornadoes or floods or tsunamis or earthquakes or astrologers or cults or Madame Cleo's and 1-800 numbers, none of that. None of that. We're going to be there in perfection. We're going to be in a city that has no cemetery. And that's where he guides us and leads us, and that's where home is, and that's what we're going to see. It says in Revelation 1:13 through 15, the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to his feet and girded about his chest with a golden band, his head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like the fine brass that is refined in a furnace, and his voice is the sound of many waters. Isn't it great to believe in Jesus? And it says, even among those who were among the rulers, and we'll know later in Acts, we'll see that there's Pharisees that believe. We know Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea and the body of Jesus that they carried away and everything else and asked for before Pilate. But there are some there at this point, in verse 42, that did not confess him. And what does it say we need to do? To believe in our heart, confess with our mouth. It says that Jesus said that if you confess me before man, I'll confess you before my Father who's in heaven. But at this point, some of them aren't confessing him, though they're believing in him. What's stopping them, verse 42, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. They were afraid of the repercussions, the ramifications of not believing, of not confessing him who they believed in. And it was a big thing to be thrown out. That could affect your business. That could affect your social status, everything. You would be ostracized from society. It was a big deal. Those Pharisees carried a lot of power. The bottom line issue, verse 43, for they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. Oh, when we learn that we have an audience of one, that that's the one we want to hear praise from. And the praise we want to hear is at the end of the race, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And as I'm age-wise rounding third and looking to home, home plate seems a sweeter place than ever before. And what I want to hear is, well done. I just want to keep going. Keep my eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who, even though he despised the shame of the cross for the joy that was before him, now he is seated at the right hand of the Father. You know something else that really I love about verses 42 and 43? It shows you and me that Jesus loves the weak in faith. Right? That's weak. Because the praise of man you wanted. But have you ever been guilty of that? Not speaking, not witnessing maybe when you should, not standing up when you knew you were prompted? Sometimes we know that after the fact, right? You feel kind of convicted. Jesus loves the weak in faith. We might look at someone else's faith and wonder, you know, how much of a Christian am I because I don't have that kind of faith or boldness or anything else? You know, Paul was pretty bold, but you know what he also did? He asked for others to pray for boldness. What a great thing it is when we can ask one another, hey, can you pray for me for boldness? I ask my friends, loved ones, the fellowship in Havasu, pray for me for boldness. And I think the boldness we need is going to be more as we're heading into the future. Because it seems like the opposition to shut our mouths is greater. Remember that man who brought his son and he was in a dark place with his son. And there was some shaking that was going on in his life. Maybe that's where you're at today. And his encounter with Jesus, he said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Isn't that great? And do you feel the pathos and the angst of that? That you can believe, but you still got some things shaking you in kind of an unbelief. We can ask the Lord, help my unbelief. It says in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Besides asking people to pray for us, another way we can do it is, man, when you're in the word more, your faith increases. When you're more obedient, your faith, it grows. It says in Peter that your faith may grow exceedingly. It says we can grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Where we're at right now today, where you're at, you don't have to stay there. We can grow in our faith, just like the apostles did. When the Lord Jesus Christ is our prized possession, our most valuable commodity, our faith, it says in 1 Peter 1:7 that the genuineness of your faith being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to the praise and the honor and the glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. That we might grow in love for one another. It's a great litmus test. Remember those strips you had in chemistry in high school? 2 Thessalonians 1:3 says, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly. Remember in Acts, it says that those in Berea were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica, for they received the message from Paul, and they examine the scriptures daily to see if those things were true. But yet, even this church, which is a good church, as you look at churches and letters to it in your New Testament, like Corinthian church, they're so messed up that Paul says in 2 Corinthians 13:5, why don't you examine yourself to see if you're even in the faith, the way they were living. But you have the church in Thessalonica, and it says, but your faith is growing exceedingly. One of the ways that is evidence, a litmus test in our life, is that if we're growing in love. So I can ask myself, am I growing in love for one another? That's such a prayer that we can have. Lord, help me to grow in love for people. Have you ever prayed that? Do you pray that often? You pray that often, and you're going to wind up praying that more often. Because you know what? The Lord might send some people into your life to help you to learn how to love that aren't that lovable. Because lovable people are real easy to love. Have you ever noticed that? I like loving lovable people. I want more lovable people in my life. It's those hard to get along with people. Those people that, like Pastor Chuck Smith used to say, that are like sandpaper in your life. But there's also a functionality of that, that they can rub off some of the rough edges that we have in our life to just love people like Jesus loved. He said, this is how we're going to know that people are going to know that you're my disciples, by your love one for another. That you can do all these things in the name of the Lord, but if you don't have love, it'll profit you nothing. And so, growing in love. And we can be like the apostles in growing in love and growing in faith. Because remember when it talked about forgiveness, what their retort was? Lord, increase our faith. How can I forgive 7 times 70? And so what we see here is it moves along. That in verse 44, Jesus is crying out now. And he says, he who believes in me believes not in me, but him who sent me. And you go through John 17 and you see that he did everything, that he subjected himself to the Father. He did everything the Father said to do. He always pleased the Father. But it also says, even as he sent me, he said to his disciples, me and you, I am sending you. We are on a mission. That's why we're here. And he who sees me sees him who sent me, because he is the light of the world, that whoever believes in me should not stumble, should not abide in darkness. And if anyone, verse 47, hears my word and does not believe, I don't have to judge him. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. Remember, it says that he came as light into the world, but the condemnation is that some love darkness. But still, people come out of darkness to the light. We have any of those? That you were a dark place, and yet you came to the light. You know, when I talk about people getting saved, you know, this one guy that I know that got saved, it blows my mind how good God is in reaching down to the miry clay and lifting him up and setting his feet upon a rock now instead of the mud he was in. And that guy, I brush his teeth on a daily basis. Look in the mirror, because I was not slated to be anything like the Lord has blessed me with as a child of the King. I mean, my family beforehand, we might have been kind of famous, but it would have been because we would have been on Jerry Springer. Not good. Now we've got kids walking with the Lord. We're blessed by 5 kids, 10 grandkids, one already in heaven. And Jesus in the center and his love in our family, he's changed everything. And the reality is, mankind doesn't have to stumble about, because that's what was happening. Prior to knowing Jesus, I was just stumbling and bumbling about this life. But he came as light to the world, John 8:12. And as we hear his words and we believe them, we don't have to stumble about. Ephesians 5:8 says, we were once in darkness, but now we are light in the Lord. So we can now walk as children of light. In Acts 26:18, he came to open our eyes, to turn us from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that we may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Sanctified by faith. He's doing a work in our faith. He doesn't just stop the day he rescues us. Remember in Philippians 1:6, it says, he who began the good work in you and me will be faithful to complete it. It says in, because there is nothing like seeing the light, right? And the Lord opens our eyes. No more darkness, no more light. No more night, excuse me. I saw the light. I saw the light. It says this in Psalms 36:7. How precious is your loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust in the shadow of your wings. They are abundantly satisfied with the fullness of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your pleasures. For with you is a fountain of life, and in your light we see light. C.S. Lewis said, I believe in Christianity as I believe that the sun has risen, not only because I see it, but because by it I see everything else. I found it so true. That what follows after us as we follow after Christ is that the evidence just mounts and grows of all that he is. And even it says your faith grows. Our faith is so precious that even though we can go through trials and tribulations, that I can now go, it's not strange, this fiery trial, because the word tells me that these things might happen, but that I also know that we have an inheritance in heaven, incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for us. And Jesus says in Revelation that he has the key. How great is that? I'm so blessed that he holds the reservation, because I've had hotels, rental cars, restaurants, all lose my reservation before. But the Lord's not going to lose one single reservation that he has as we put our faith in him. So we have this truth, and we have such a great opportunity, and it's also a responsibility that we have to proclaim this light which he has shown us. In 1 Peter 2:9, it tells us who we are. But we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that we may proclaim the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. So Jesus goes on here in verses 48 and 49. He says, he who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word I have spoken will judge him. For I have not spoken on my, verse 49, on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me command what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that this command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak. It says that the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Even as Jesus is Savior now or judge later, we will bow before him. Every knee will bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of all, to the glory of the Father. It tells us that there is no other name given under heaven by which we must be saved by but that of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why in Acts 16:31 it says, so they said to them as they relayed this message, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved and your whole household. You see, the conclusion here and the reality is that Jesus pours his heart and the plea is to believe. Believe. Romans 10:9, that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And when we do that, it's just so true that what we really believe will change our behavior. And when we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, he changes things, doesn't he? He changes things radically in every facet of us. And he does it so patiently and lovingly as well. I would have given up on me a long time ago, but he doesn't. He's amazing in his grace. Somebody ought to write a song about that, like Amazing Grace or something. I don't know. I think it would work. And so as we believe in this God who so loves us, we come into that relationship with us, how could it not change us? If I believe a stove is hot, I'm not going to put my hand on it. Sometimes I don't believe waitresses, because they'll come with a plate and they'll say how hot it is. And I just go, well, if you can handle it, I can handle it. No. Don't place it before me. Give it to me. And they've built up some calluses, some of them, I think. And, go, oh, and they try to act like it's not hot. You know what I mean? But I don't really believe her sometimes. But what I really believe will affect my behavior. Another thing, just one more little personal thing about Lisa and I, our whole family, all of our five children, everything, is we're dog people. We like dogs. Now, I understand. I didn't come here to be divisive. Some of you are cat people. Praying for you. And I understand, I know, you know, I used to not understand why in the world they would even, you know, God make cats. And then I thought, well, I guess the kitty litter industry needs some employees and it gives people jobs, because I couldn't figure out. Still, you know, even when I tell people about the fact that I'm a dog person and they go, well, you got to do a cat. And then they've always done this over the years. I've noticed it. They'll say about their cat, well, my cat's just like a dog. And I go, well, why don't you upgrade to a real dog then? I mean, if the best thing you can say about the cat is it's like, but anyways, I digress. We have two dogs. They're poodles. A little embarrassing. But they're standard poodles, they're gals. But here's my whole point. These dogs, we have two of them now. We had two of them before. We had an Ebony and a Daisy. Now we have a Echo and a Luna. Luna's middle name is Tick. We've renamed her that after spending some time with her. This dog, man, it was just a couple of weeks ago on a Saturday night. She somehow, man, just quick as a wink, and I knew better. She got to the counter. She ate a corn cob. It's not good for them. I had to get hydrogen peroxide, and you start giving them little shots of it until they throw up because they can't digest everything else. I'm Saturday night before church, man. It's late at night just ministering to this dog who, right then, I would have rather had a cat. But it says in Proverbs that, you know, a good person takes care of their animals. And I can't have a relationship with a poodle without a change in my life. How could we ever say that we have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and not have it change our lives? He will change our life. When we know the one who is our creator, our ordainer, our sustainer, our redeemer, the lover of our souls, the only one in all of history who came in the flesh humbly, changed time historically, offered joy completely, life abundantly, peace transcendently. He spoke truth emphatically. He loved unconditionally. Then he was betrayed unmercifully. He was accused falsely. He was tried erroneously. He was mocked unsparingly. He was beaten cruelly. His appearance was disfigured unrecognizably. He bled profusely. He gave his life unselfishly, and he died sacrificially. But then he rose triumphantly. He ascended wonderfully. He makes intercession continually. He drives us closer, personally, presently. He is returning eminently, majestically, powerfully, visibly, where he will be judging decisively and reigning righteously, so we can be together eternally, gloriously. And because of Jesus, we are saved radically. So no wonder we want to follow him wholeheartedly. And I know sometimes I preach a little too enthusiastically. But it's because of Jesus, who is the rescuer of our lives. God bless you. Thank you for having me. Would you bow your heart with me for a minute? Lord, we look to you alone. For you alone can rescue. You alone loved us enough that even while we were yet sinners, you died for us. Lord, we sing a song that talks about igniting the fire again. We need you as the consuming fire. We need to offer ourselves again afresh sometimes to you, you who saves. And Lord, I pray for the hearts today. I pray as your Holy Spirit speaks that we would have yielded listening hearts. And I ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. And I know they'll have people up here to pray with you. Whatever the Lord's speaking to your heart, that you would be sensitive to hearing how the Holy Spirit wants to draw you. And if you need prayer for anything, these guys are here. If you need to come home to Jesus, is there anybody that their heart's like, I need to really come home to Jesus right now with a heads up, eyes open? Is there anybody that the Lord's speaking with? Today is your day to just catch the fire that Jesus has for you, the calling on your life. Anybody want to raise your hand and ask for prayer right now? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He sees you. He hears you. Prayer for anything else. There'll be guys here, and I'll be sure to pray with that guy. God bless you. Thank you for having me.